Thank you all for being here tonight. And thank you, President Trump, for selecting me to serve as an Associate Justice of the United States Supreme Court.
Hello, fellow law nerds. Welcome to another episode of Boom Lawyered, a Rewire News Group podcast hosted by the legal journalism team that kind of still can't believe what happened in Ray, Justice Kingdom of God. So I'm just going to have to sit with it for a while, just let it wash over me, and I don't know, find some coping mechanisms. I'm Imani Gandhi.
And I'm Jess Piclow. Rewire News Group is dedicated to empowering you to own your relationship to sex, abortion, parenthood, and power. And the Team Legal podcast is part of that mission. And we have some really big news.
We do.
Thanks to all y'all, we have officially reached 600,000 downloads of the Boom Lawyered podcast.
What? Also, I like how you said thanks to all of y'all. It was just like it was like one word, like A-L-L-A-Y-A-L-L, all of y'all. But yes, we would like to thank all of y'all, literally every last one of y'all, for helping us reach 600,000 downloads. You know, we understand this is a bit of a niche podcast for like people who are interested in a very specific area. And we are just thankful that you are joining us in this learning journey of law nerdery. We just really appreciate it. We love
sincerely.
It, actually.
So yay to the Boom Lawyered family, and a big thank you to our subscribers, and of course, a welcome to our new listeners. Thank you.
New listeners, always welcome. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yesterday was a thing that happened.
It was.
And end a podcast. I'd like to go drinking now. No. So, but seriously, what did you make of Trump and Amy Coney Barrett appearing together on the balcony last night as sort of their spike the football moment?
Yeah, I mean, everything about that is really tacky and super fascist. That is my first reaction to that. It's like, okay, ooh, right? Like, you don't do that. Amy Coney Barrett did not have to go to a political event as the very first thing that she did as a Supreme Court justice, and yet she did. Effectively, the first thing that she did was show up at a campaign event. So we know exactly where we stand with Justice Amy Coney Barrett. That's what I think of it. What about you? What was your take on all of that?
Well, I noticed that Roberts wasn't there.
No, he was not there.
So that's interesting. Mm-hmm. And I have to muse about this. What do you think Roberts is thinking right now? Because I can't imagine a guy like that who really, you know, seems to actually care about the court as an institution. Mm-hmm. And despite the fact that I disagree with a lot of his rulings, at least he seems to have some kind of principle. I don't agree with the principle, but he seems to be relatively principled.
Yeah.
As compared to what we're getting now with these like absolute Federalist Society stooges, Roberts is still, he's like a semi-stooge / semi-principled guy. And I just really don't think that he would have been a guy who would have said, no, we shouldn't leave maybe a month to actually grieve the legacy of this titan of the court, who, by the way, just died recently.
Yeah.
And we still have not even, as a country, really celebrated that legacy in a way that I think is appropriate.
Yeah.
But setting that all aside, Roberts seems like the kind of guy who would have liked to follow the traditional way, who would have liked to celebrate her life and then wait for the election. And then, I mean, I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I think this is a really interesting point. So I went back and looked, and it turns out that Roberts was not at any of the initial swearing-in ceremonies for any of the Trump appointees. First, it was Justice Kennedy, and then with Amy Coney Barrett, it was Justice Thomas. Now, Roberts initiates the oath, the official oath, which he did for Amy Coney Barrett today, so she can start hearing court business. But he is not involved in the pomp and circumstance with the White House. So, yeah. I mean, on the one hand, good for him. However, I think it's important to remind listeners that he does things like vote to uphold a Muslim ban, or you know, is likely going to side with the administration in some election disputes given his voting rights history. So, like, in the one,
what is it? What is it about him that, because I've done this before, remember? Like, I did this before after the June medical. I want to like him. After June medical, I was like, well, but maybe he has a point. And you were like, no, he does not. Snap out of it.
Now I'm going to slap some sense into you.
Why do I keep trying to cape for this white man?
Oh, I mean, I think because we want to believe our institutions have some inherent integrity left with them. And John Roberts was really, from the Republicans, the last quote unquote institutionalist that was put forward. Sam Alito was an ideologue. All of the other nominees from Roberts forward have been blatant ideologues. But there is the mythology around Chief Justice Roberts as a reasonable man. And I mean, sometimes he is. I'm not going to like totally completely shade him. But I would just not give him too much credit for not being involved in the White House stuff. I would give him more credit if he stops voting along with the White House's
along
policies.
Party lines.
Yeah. All right. So I have a question for you, Imani.
Hit me.
A lot of folks seem to feel like Democrats really failed to do everything they could to stop this nomination, right? We talked about a few things that they could do, like maybe impeach someone or invoke the War Powers Act. Like, if you had to give the Democrats a grade for how they resisted this nomination, what would you grade them? Do they pass?
I mean, I would give them a passing grade if it weren't for people like Dianne Feinstein and people, you know, like there were some people who really, I think, used the hearings and got the most value out of them. His rumpled hotness, for one. I think he did a really good job at getting value out of the hearings, out of making a case for why it is Democrats should actually balance out the courts, explaining the dark money.
Uh-huh.
And then you get people like Dianne Feinstein who are like, thanks for a lovely hearing and it's so nice to see your kids and blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, leading up to the hearing, I think that Democrats could have put up a bigger fight. I think that they spent a lot of time talking about trying to appeal to Republicans' better angels. And I don't think that that was effective. And quite frankly, I still would have, you know, done the nuclear option, which is go to Nancy Pelosi and be like, can we impeach all of these people right now?
Yeah. So I think looking at it as like a group project, Democrats are always really good at making sure everybody participates. And as a result, the project isn't as good. Whereas Republicans are like, nah, man, we need to crush this project. And so give it to me. I'm going to do all the work. You know, like John Cornyn, go like talk about the Affordable Care Act somewhere. But like, I'm going to like rush these nominees through. So like, I think, you know, Democrats sort of willingness to play along gets the better of them all too often. Maybe they get like a C.
Yeah.
That feels a little generous. I don't know.
Well, I think that we personally, like you and I, did a really good job covering this.
Good job, Imani.
I'm going to go ahead and pat us on the back and toot our little horns. But we're not necessarily mainstream media. We're a scrappy little journalistic outfit that does great work.
Yes.
But we're not the New York Times. We don't have those resources. We're not mainstream. So what do you think about the mainstream media's coverage of the confirmation process overall? You know, did anyone do a particularly good job? Did anyone fall flat on their face? What do you think?
You know, I thought that there was a lot of initial acceptance by media outlets who probably should know better of the framing that we got of Amy Coney Barrett out of the gates. She's just this lovely working mom and, you know, all of that stuff. Like, we know that Republicans sell an image. And so I would have loved to see a lot more critical thinking. And I will say that at the same time, there were some great targeted pieces and looks at Amy Coney Barrett on her history. One of the problems with the media coverage of the nomination is that the whole thing happened so flipping fast. Right?
Yeah.
Like it, I mean, there was barely any time at all, no time, frankly, for the Senate Judiciary Committee to actually investigate Amy Coney Barrett's background, her record, to really truly like do their advice and consent job. So if the Senate can't do that, the media can barely do that, right?
Yeah.
But I do think outlets like Mother Jones was one of the first who was out with Amy Coney Barrett's connection to People of Praise, that charismatic Christian group that you and I chatted about a little bit. They were one of the first out of the gates with the implication for that. So I will for sure give them props, you know, and I think that, you know, frankly, some of the female journalists out there were doing a better job covering this than others. But in general, the public and the media needs an education about how the courts work, about how nomination processes work. It's really kind of boring and wonky, but folks are starting to understand that it's not just that so much is at stake. It's that, like, the implication, the lasting implications of not just Amy Coney Barrett, but as you and I have talked about, all of these Trump judges, like, we need to talk and educate people, and the media needs to be leading that. What do you think? Did anybody jump out at you in terms of, like, wow, they really crushed it, or woof, do not go there?
I just kind of want to just, you know, put a pox on the houses of a lot of these dude bro journalists on Twitter who are just like, you know, I really don't know if people have been thinking about the implications of Roe versus Wade enough and blah, blah, blah. It's like, you know, these dudes who just sort of came in out of the sea, they were surfing maybe, and they're like, hey, man, anyone got a joint, bro? So, you know, I was just thinking last night, one thing a lot of y'all haven't been really talking about is abortion. It could be criminalized, man. Like, I really honestly want to give a shout out to anyone who's been on this beat covering this stuff, whether from a legal standpoint or from an advocacy standpoint, for as long as 10 years more than I have, right? Yeah. And I just think that that's important to, especially as we go forward, it's going to be important for the more mainstream outlets to look to little scrappy publications like ours, you know, to ask the questions that need to be asked and to really dig deep into the issues with people who know what they're talking about. And those people are us. And those people are a couple of people sprinkled across the, you know, the media landscape. But it's really critical that people understand what's happening, and it's critical that they get it right. And how are you going to get it right? Unless you talk to people who know what they're talking about and not someone who just smoked a joint 5 minutes ago and just had maybe like a musing about Roe v. Wade in the shower.
But this is such an important point, not just because it's like, you know, folks are like just, you know, like coming to this issue fully formed all of a sudden, but because what we're going to see is what feels like a really rapid rollback of rights, right? So think of marriage equality, for example. That was a fight that took decades to really actualize, right? Court case after court case had to strike sodomy laws. We had to have entire public education campaigns to strike down state-level constitutional marriage equality bans. We had to change Barack Obama's mind, right?
Right.
Like, everybody's yelling about what a wonderful job Senator Amy Klobuchar did in the Amy Coney Barrett hearings, getting, like, just nailing her on rights questions. And I will tell you, as a former constituent of Amy Klobuchar, she would not take a position when the state was poised to ban marriage equality as a senator. That's how far and how fast we moved people on the left on that issue. The court is going to roll back those rights in the coming years in a way that's going to feel, the same people who are like, wow, have you been thinking about abortion, are going to be like, wow, that shit happened fast. And we will have been saying, yes, but not really. So again, that's a really important point.
Oh, God, it's really depressing.
You know, unpack the court.
I mean, it's just
unpack the court.
It's depressing, and that's what I'm going to say. I'm not going to leave it on a bad note, because when I get depressed, I just think, you know what? There is hope. You know what I mean? For people who believe in the kinds of rights that we believe in, there is hope. And that hope is in unpacking the court. And quite frankly, between when we first recorded our first episode of this season and now, there's been a really big cultural shift when it comes to people talking about court reform. I'm seeing people, you know, they're still wrestling with what that means and wrestling with ideas. And, you know, I honestly want to just, like, can we just, like, find Ellie Mistel and get on a tour bus and just go and start, like, a whistle stop tour about court reform and tell everyone that we don't just need 14, 15 judges. We need 30, and, like, get people on board for that, because I honestly love that idea. And so those are the kinds of things that give me hope, because A, it means I get to argue with people a lot in the future about court reform. And B, the end of that argument might be, you know, a democracy that I can say, oh, God, I'm actually glad I live in this democracy, as opposed to right now where we're like basically under a theocracy. It just hasn't been cemented into law yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
it doesn't have to stay this way.
Unpack the courts, y'all, because it can get better. It can. And I don't know why I'm so cheerful right now, but let's go with it.
Don't question it. Go.
Let's go with it. So if you want to be cheerful with me about the downfall of society, you can find me on Twitter at Angry Black Lady. You can find Jess on Twitter at Hegemommy, Hegemommy. You should follow at Rewire News Group on Facebook and on Twitter. Just boom, boom. And if you want to hop into our Boom Lawyered Facebook group, we would love to have you. Also, if you'd like to give us money, we like money. You like giving us money. It's a match made in heaven. You can go to rewirenewsgroup.com/boomgive. That's rewirenewsgroup.com/BOOMGIVE. What we gonna do next, Jess?
I'm gonna see you on the tubes, folks.
See you on the tubes, folks.
Boom Lawyered is created and hosted by Jessica Mason Piclo and Imani Gandhi. Mark Folletti produces the show.